Happy Monday, February 19th. Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com here. This is the Monday Morning Joe podcast presented by Discount Garage Doors and Lakeland Automall Ford and Hyundai. Man, we're marching through the offseason. February 19th, we're 23 days from the free agency bell ringing. Just 3 weeks, 3 weeks exactly, before teams can start negotiating with representatives of players on other teams. So it's really here. You know, I mean, I know most of you are probably, well, you're thinking of football if you tuned in, but you're kind of disconnected from football right now. This is one of those months where, you know, you're just disconnected if you're a normal person. I'm not a normal person. I'm completely obsessed. It's what we do here at Joe Bucks Fan World Headquarters. But it is starting to heat up again. You know, a free agency is exciting as anything is out there when you're a Bucks fan, because the season isn't always as exciting as we want it to be, as we know too well. Anyway, the podcast is available on Google Play, iTunes, which is also Apple Podcasts. On iTunes or Apple Podcasts, you can subscribe for a free alert. Very easy to do that. You can just hit podcasts in your phone. Easy to do and find the podcast. You can also leave a review or a comment. I appreciate those, even the negative ones. I really don't have thin skin whatsoever. Never would have gotten into media years ago if I did. I really don't care. It's a little story. Back in the day when I worked on staff at the Tampa Tribune, they put my email address in the newspaper. That's the way it was. You had your name, and then under that was your email and Tribune staff writer. So you can imagine when people actually read newspapers, I used to get bombarded with all kinds of weird stuff. Hate mail, love letters, stories, you know, write a letter about my son who got ripped off at Macy's, all kinds of weird stuff. So I'm all good with it. We appreciate the comments, though. We like to read them and hear them. So do that at Podbean as well. And thank you. Thank you for listening. Now, today we're going to talk about free agency, of course, because that's key. There's some also other factors going on, stuff we've written about on JoeBucksFan.com. If you haven't realized it, we don't take any days off on Joe Bucks Fan. There's always some stuff there, always a lot of stuff there, really, compared to everybody else. Every angle that we can figure out that might be interesting for you. So I appreciate all the regular readers. Now, before I get to our fabulous sponsors, I definitely want to mention that we've been harping on Joe Bucks Fan about the Jameis Winston investigation not moving forward. And a lot of people are split on that. They're like, hey, Joe, you know, what are you talking about? The Cowboys did everything they could to make Ezekiel Elliott's thing hustle up and get a verdict there and get things to go their way. And even the mighty Cowboys and influential Jerry Jones couldn't get Goodell to budge. And the NFL cracked down on the Patriots, and that was a mess, and the Deflategate. To me, that's irrelevant, especially as it relates to the Jameis Uber investigation. In that investigation, there aren't a lot of players, meaning there's not a lot of police reports to comb through and all kinds of things. It's pretty straightforward. And we have Jameis, who we know was in the car. We have the Uber driver who filed the claim against Jameis to Uber, the complaint claim, back in March 2016, immediately after he was in the vehicle. And then we have Ronald Darby, who says he was in the vehicle and says nothing happened. And there was a third person there, and nobody's saying who that is publicly. And now we also know that Jameis's accuser has an attorney. We also know that no charges have been filed, nothing, no police reports, no calls to 911, no civil suits, nothing. And we also know that Jameis was taken off Uber. They pulled him off the rolls. He can't use Uber anymore. And what else do we know? We don't really know a lot more. They went through a drive-thru. This allegedly happened in a restaurant drive-thru. Apparently, there's no video. And that's sort of what we know. I might be leaving a couple things out, but the point is there's not much there. So the NFL, I think if you were doing a service to fans, they say they care about the fans. If you're doing a service to fans and you want to treat players respectfully as well as your teams and respect your great franchises and owners, you move quickly with these investigations, because there is no purpose served by a long, long, protracted delay. Now, I told you here on the podcast, and we talked about it on the Ira Kaufman podcast, there was no way the NFL was going to release anything or get into this before the Super Bowl was over. Why? Because they're in charge of their brand, and they're a PR machine, and they weren't going to release anything and make us, you know, give this thing any kind of life before the Super Bowl was finished. That was their showcase. They don't want anything to take away from the league's great showcase. And you know what? It was a great playoff season. Exciting games, new teams, a lot of energy. And I would do the same thing if I was the NFL, but it doesn't mean you can't investigate. And we've learned, Lee DeCamper of Joe Bucks Fan, he was up at the Super Bowl, talked to Darby. Darby said the NFL hadn't talked to him yet, despite Darby issuing a statement, a public statement. Nobody interviewed him. And according to Rick Stroud on Friday, Tampa Bay Times writer, he said on his website podcast that the NFL hasn't talked to Jameis. So that background there, we now learn that the Panthers interim GM, Marty Herney, they've got his investigation into alleged domestic abuse stuff going on as related to his divorce case. They finished up that investigation and he's back and restored his job. And apparently the whole thing took just a few weeks and they actually even interviewed him and other people, according to the report on NFL Network from Ian Rappaport. So I think Bucks fans, we care here at JoeBucksFan.com because this thing can be moved along quickly. The NFL simply is not taking it seriously. I'm sorry, they're not. And Jason Light was telling ESPN the other day, Jenna Lane, that they're powerless in the situation. There's nothing they can do. The NFL will do its due diligence. That is a bunch of crap. It really is. They're definitely the Bucks can put pressure on the league. Definitely they can start making this thing public and say the league's dragging its feet. Definitely they can do their own investigation. Jason Light openly talked about how he interviewed 75 people in connection to Jameis before drafting Jameis as part of their diligence and research into Jameis's questionable background. Jason Light made it very public that the Glazers gave an open checkbook to research Jameis. Yet, what's going on here? And this Jameis investigation, the NFL could suspend him under the policy, the conduct policy, which they have ramped up in the last year, whatever it is, 6 games. Even if he gets 3 games, it's not good. That's terrible for the team. And especially if they don't move this thing along quickly, if he gets 3, let's say he's suspended for weeks 4, 5, and 6, that's a mess. How do you manage preseason effectively, not knowing answers, and then drafting and signing quarterbacks? I mean, we just believe here at Joe Bucks Fan that just give the thing the attention it deserves. There's no reason you can't talk to Jameis twice. Having worked covering police issues and court issues for the Tampa Tribune years ago, I understand that, you know, sometimes witnesses aren't interviewed until they've talked to other people first. There can be value in talking to somebody armed with more information, but you can always talk to somebody twice. This isn't a criminal investigation. Jameis has to cooperate. Remember Tom Brady, a big part of what the problem was with him is that he wasn't being cooperative. I mean, Jameis could have been in the league office, or they could have flown somebody down to talk to him and get a preliminary report and then interview him later. But apparently, and same thing with Darby, but apparently crickets. And where are the Bucks in this? You know, they could suspend Jameis on their own. If they found out on their own enough information that they felt he was guilty, they could slap him with a 3-game suspension. They would know how to approach the season and then let the league fill in behind him. And maybe the league will show some leniency if the Bucks did their diligence and maybe the suspension ends up shorter. I don't know. But there's stuff that could be done here. And I just feel like Bucks fans are left holding the bag. You know, we should be a priority for the league. And it feels like Carolina was a bigger priority. I don't know why. So that's part of that. That's just a theme that we're following because it doesn't make sense. And maybe somebody will make sense of this whole thing for all of us, but I doubt it. 3 months now. We're going on we're at 3 months with this Jameis investigation. And to the best of everyone's knowledge, They haven't talked to Jameis yet. They haven't talked to Darby. Who else is there to talk to? Did they actually fly out investigators to the fast food place in Phoenix? I mean, come on. There's no reason to not have spoken to Jameis yet. This is just a mess. And we, you know, that's just the take here. So, lots to talk about. First, though, Discount Garage Doors. DGDoors.com is the website. Discount Garage Doors serves 18 Florida counties. They are a local Tampa Bay company that will come out to your home 7 days a week, free service call, and diagnose your garage door issue. Or they'll diagnose it and fix it right there if you like the price and you like the situation. No stress, no hassle. Same day, free service call. Most of the time, they can get out there in the same day, which is extraordinary, right? Because you get up in the morning, if your garage door doesn't open, you're not going to be joking around there if you can't get the door open. You call Discount Garage Doors, 1-866-420-DOOR, 1-866-420-DOOR. And they have new doors. If you need a new door, they've got a great selection. Remember, the name is Discount Garage Doors because the prices are reasonable, and they'll beat any competitor's price on top of that. Great coupons at dgdoors.com. Also, use your Joe Bucks fan code for 10% off. I almost said 10% orf. That's kind of weird. Anyway, also, we want to mention, there's a new podcast coming to the JoeBucksFan.com family. For those of you who enjoyed the Scuttlebucks with the great folks from ESPN Tallahassee, Jeff Cameron and Tom Lang. Tom Lang is a lifelong, he's not just a radio guy in Tallahassee, he is a Clearwater native and a lifelong Lightning fan. And just for kicks and for fun and because his insight is going to be great and he's a real fan and can bring that perspective, he's got some ties to the organization going back years as well. Tom is going to be dropping his first Lightning podcast, and it's going to go every Friday right here on JoeBucksFan.com. And we'll have it set for you, of course, to subscribe on iTunes, all the platforms. So very excited about that. And we'll take it through the playoffs and see what the interest is. But you know what? The Lightning are a good team. People are into it. The buzz is going to pick up. And you know what? If you don't like hockey, that's fine. Don't listen. Simple as that. All right. Lakeland Auto Mall, Ford and Hyundai, we thank them for their great support of JoeBucksFan.com. Today, President's Day sales event. Save thousands on price and hundreds on payments. Don't wait. Get lots, 0% APR, and make no payments until the spring. Plus, of course, the signature of Lakeland Ford, Lakeland Auto Mall Ford and Hyundai, nationwide lifetime warranty and 1 year free maintenance on new vehicles. It is that simple, and it's no catch. They're at 1430 West Memorial Boulevard in Lakeland, very easy to get to off I-4. I was out there on my way to the Pro Bowl. I love it out there. Lakeland Ford manager Sean Sullivan, friend of mine, huge Bucks fan. You won't find a bigger Bucks fan, lifetime Bucks fan, a local. He is awesome. He's going to give you an extra $500 off. Extra $500 off. No gimmick. Whatever lowest price you find at LakelandFord.com on a new Ford, that's the lowest price they offer. There's no catch there. Call Sean Sullivan. He's going to give you an extra $500 off just for mentioning the podcast or Joe Bucks fan or just talking Bucks. Check them out. LakelandFord.com, LakelandAutomall.com. We appreciate their support. Now, free agency. Yeah, free agency. Like I said, 23 days away. So where do the Bucks go? Where do they spend their money? And I think the biggest question is, will they spend the money? I mean, think about this. The Bucks are going to have top 10, top 5 most money in the league available under the cap, which has gone up this year. So money is not an issue here. But the Glazers' trust in Jason Light, it's got to be an issue because they haven't been very good in free agency. So does Light get the open checkbook? Does he get full freedom to do what he wants? I don't know. We're never going to know the truth on that. I mean, Light is in a situation where he needs a job in 2019. He doesn't have a new contract, doesn't have a new extension. And my biggest question is, what did the Glazers do with Light as far as their approach? Do they tell Light up front, hey, this is what we need from you. This is how we're going to grade you, Jason, in 2018. This team needs X record or we're blowing it up. Or do they tell him, we need at least a certain record, and this is what we want to see from you with your success rate in free agency, and this is what we want in the draft, and this is how we're going to grade your past drafts. Do they give him a framework for his grading, or do they just sort of say, do your best, man, here's the checkbook. Yeah, you can spend 2/3 of our available cap, do whatever the hell you want, and if you screw up, you're out. I don't know how they operate. I don't even know what the best thing to way to operate is. In theory, you trust your football man and you get out of the way. But this regime, with Jason Light calling the free agency picks, hasn't been very good. Now, the Glazers aren't foolish. I mean, you might say they are, I guess. The team hasn't been very successful. Longest playoff drought in 10 years. So I guess the ownership, you'd have to say, is not very good if it does all start at the top. I'm not saying they're bad or bad people or not trying their best, but the results are the results. But how do they let Jason Light approach this? I don't know. But if they do let Jason Light approach this, he's got to dump money on the defensive side of the ball. Significant money on that side of the ball. You figure you need three starters. You want to pick three starters in free agency. A defensive end. That doesn't mean the guy's going to be a top shelf guy, but a guy who can start and play at defensive end. A starting cornerback. Hopefully the best money can buy. And also a starting nose tackle, starting caliber nose tackle, or a safety. It really depends how they look at it. But you need three starters on defense, because that's what happens when you fail in the draft. You need starters on defense. So how much money is Jason Light going to spend? We don't know. We really don't know. But I've said this theme here before, and I really think it's important. You just have to improve. You don't have to, like, knock it out of the park. You just have to get significantly better. And the Bucks, who have such a low bar, they can do that. It reminds me of when Bill Parcells, he always used to seem to take over teams when they were at their lowest. And, hey, he set himself up for success. He took over the Jets at 1-15. Hey, 9-7, here we go. But even my point is that the Bucks defense, the effectiveness has been so bad on the defensive line that really only way it can go is up. And that should help quite a bit when you're playing tight games and you have a talented offense. Those next generation stats that the NFL puts out, the next gen data, which is the chips in the shoulder pads and the tracking of the balls. I love the data, but it is a little shady in the sense that not yet, the league has not provided the data for public viewing or to all the teams for them to study each other. Teams only get their own in-house data. But the NFL has their writers who sit around and have access to everything, and they have been pulling out trends for NFL.com and writing some things up. And one thing that they wrote up, actually, they didn't go deep, but they explained that the Bucs had the second worst edge pressure, only 12% of the snaps, second worst edge pressure, off the edge specifically, second worst in the league. Now, how they define it, I don't know, but it's objective, right? It's right off this chip data, whatever it is, Bucks were second worst. So that's legit. Those are legit stats, and they should be able to just get better. And I've said this before, and that would mean something. Now, who do they go get? Well, I think a lot comes down to who's your defensive line coach. And I think that might be really is tied to the Jay Hayes firing, whatever thing went on that was personal and whatever. The new guy should be a match to the talent that they keep on the team, the talent they're targeting in free agency, and who they're looking at in the draft, right? It should be a triple fit. To me, that's probably why it's taken so long, why at least as of me recording this podcast on this beautiful Monday morning, the Bucks don't have a new D-line coach yet. You got to get the right fit for what's on the roster, who's coming up in free agency, and what you're targeting in the draft. Because, I mean, defense. It's nice to just say defensive line coach, but these guys have specialties. These guys have strengths and weaknesses. So let's get the right guy. And one way that I think is very interesting with this D-line coach search, Brenson Buckner, we brought him up, it's come up on the site and on the Ira Kaufman podcast. Lee from Joe Bucks Fan, he was out in Vegas and ran into Brenson Buckner. He had seen him on, it was not Hard Knocks, but the other, I don't think it was Hard Knocks, but the other show that the Cardinals, I forgot the name of it, that they went through, and they, it was a reality show that the Cardinals did, and he recognized Buckner, who was wearing Cardinals gear. And the story was kind of funny. Lee saw him in Vegas in a restaurant, guys wearing Cardinals gear. Man, he's like, oh man, it looks like the former player and the coach, Brenson Buckner. And he's like, it can't be. No coach wears all his gear and looks like a fan. Lee said something to the guy, and the guy said, yeah, that is me. I'm Brenson Buckner. And they chatted. Anyway, Buckner, if you look into his resume, ironically, sorry, Bucks fans, but Buckner is very, very, very tight with Calais Campbell. That was his D-line coach in Arizona. I read interviews where Calais Campbell has said Buckner was a confidant of his, a trusted advisor, including through the free agency process last year. And Buckner was a guy who, you know, worked very well with Campbell. Now, what is Campbell? Campbell's a monster. He's a man beast, 6'8", one of the biggest defensive ends, if not the biggest defensive end in the league, who also was playing in a 3-4 system and played inside and outside. So I look at Buckner and I say, well, you know what? He's got experience with Calais Campbell and worked well with him and developed him. You know, Will Golston is at least a similar body type, big, giant guy. If Campbell's the biggest defensive end in the league, he's listed at 6'8", 300. Will Golston has to be number two. He's a legit 6'7", 285. And he's not fat. Campbell's not a fat guy either. So maybe he can be a good resurrection guy, Buckner, for Golston. I'm looking at it that way. You know, if you're keeping Golston, maybe that makes sense. When you're interviewing these guys, maybe you're saying, hey, how, what do you see in Will Golston? How do you handle, how do you like to coach a guy who's oversized at the position and who's long? That sort of thing. I don't know. But to me, that makes sense. And of the available defensive ends, which there aren't many at all, unfortunately, and that's a big problem for the Bucks this year. Otherwise, they could have just opened the vault for a quality edge rusher. There may not be one to get, likely won't be. Look at a guy like Danico Autry with the Raiders. This guy is another huge body, big body type. And he had 5.5 sacks last year. Well, excuse me. No. What did he have? I don't remember. I'll think of it in a minute. You know, I'll check while I'm talking to you. That's the benefit. 5 sacks last year. 5 sacks. So he's versatile. He rushes inside. He rushes outside. He's with the Raiders. Looks like he's going to be on the loose as far as hitting free agency. He's a late bloomer. He's an interesting story. He's an SEC guy. And, you know, the Raiders are looking for somebody better opposite Khalil Mack. And that's really the deal. Plus, Autry's probably going to get paid. So this guy, versatile, seems to have the fit. Now, the question is, okay, well, he's played a lot of 3-4. So how does this fit? He's not a fit for the Bucks, and I don't buy that. If a guy can rush the passer and he's got skills, it's hard to pigeonhole these guys as just a 3-4 guy. Autry, all 6'6", 265. What's to say he's just a 3-4 guy? That he can't rush and be effective? And who's to say the Bucks don't play more 3-4, depending on the personnel? So I think, again, if you're getting a coach, let's get a coach who can coach these big dudes maybe a little bit more effectively. I don't know. Then there's the project and the draft. The kid out of University of Texas at San Antonio, he's also a big body too. So I just look at it as, you know what, you better match the coach with with what you're targeting out there. Otherwise, it's just not a good idea. And hopefully they're doing that. Hopefully they're doing that. I said on the Ira Kaufman podcast that I wouldn't bring Clinton McDonald back. And that's the kind of move that I see as something that's in the best interest of the team. Those kinds of moves are tough when you have a productive guy, even though he's been injured, but you got to get rid of, you can't just keep everybody and only have older players, especially with the Bucks, who haven't really drafted much on defense over the last 4 years. So Clinton McDonald, that would be my fall guy. I hate to do it 5 sacks, good guy, but he's missed 30% of his games over the last 4 years. And he's just the kind of guy that good teams let go. And yeah, sure, he could be a backup, but I'd rather get a younger guy in here in the free agency or in the draft. Or, you know, we've got Stevie T out of USC coming back. He's obviously an older player because he was drafted a little bit older, but second year guy. You know, he's coming back. I'd rather get younger. They should be able to find some guys to develop. Now, then the question is Jason Light going to care a rat's ass about development when his job's on the line? And that's scary to me. That's the scariest part about this year to me, is the regime is not going to care about the future. And under John Gruden, that was a problem. Gruden's attitude was, next year, give me Charlie Garner and give me guys who can get this thing done. I don't need to develop guys. I need to win games. That's why we play football. I could be dead next week. And there's some value in that kind of urgency on your team. But there's also a lot of value in developing players. Gruden really wasn't able to find that balance. His coaching skill was good enough to get them to ceiling out most years, but they didn't have that flow of young talent. I want the Bucs to get back to that. And I see a guy like Clinton McDonald. Frankly, I even see a guy like Brent Grimes. And let's find better and younger. Let's find better and younger and develop. But Grimes, I'd still pay anyway, because the Bucs are in a desperate situation. Do I think the Bucs can have a lousy pass rush and a poor run defense without Clinton McDonald next year? Yeah, I do. And that's what they had last year. And I hate being so cold. I like Clinton. I've talked to him many times. He's one of the greatest guys on the Bucs. That's just the way it is. So I would move on, and I'd even draft, top 3 picks. If I care about the future of this organization, top 3 picks, I would draft the 2 best defensive linemen available, assuming that makes sense. Out of my top 3 picks, that's where I would go. I would also try to get Jason Light more picks, which I've mentioned before, because the guy's good in the draft. Guy's good in the draft, get him some more picks. The Bucs are in a tough spot. It's really a tough spot, and I don't know if there's a plan. It was interesting. Derek Brooks, one of the few things he said off season is that they need to make a plan. And Brooks, who knows the team inside and out, who still communicates with Jameis and other players, you know, he might give a little specifics. No, just, hey guys, you better craft a plan. He didn't say because the last one didn't work, but that was implied. So that's always, that was a little depressing when I heard that from Derek, just having studied Brooks' speech patterns over the years and what he says and what he doesn't say. All right, switching gears. And thanks to all of you for listening to the podcast. The numbers have been great. The enthusiasm for Bucks, the appetite is just wonderful. And our whole podcast network, you can find that on the website. Bobby Game Day, who is Bobby Fenton in the Free Stretch on Thursdays. Definitely, he's a lot of fun, a lot more fun than I am. Of course, the commish rolls Monday and Wednesday, Iris podcast Tuesday and Thursday. So we appreciate and share the podcast too. Tell a friend. It sounds silly, but it's the simplest way for something to grow. Tell a friend. You know, I never ask, but hey, today I'm asking. Tell a friend. It's President's Day. Let's have a President's Day celebration. All right, I wanted to get to, I wanted to get to Jameis quickly, because not about the investigation, but I wanted to get to Jameis as it relates to his spot in the league. Where does Jameis stand? There's so much expected of the guy, such high expectations, rightfully so, number one pick in the draft, plenty of talent. But the reality now in the NFL just works against Jameis. And a lot of readers and fans think that means that I'm against Jameis and I don't get it and I'm a hater. And that's just so silly to me. But we have to be realistic. And if we're realistic, just really honest with ourselves, the 3 quarterbacks in the NFC South are better than Jameis. And they should be this year, you know, even if everybody's healthy. This season also, Aaron Rodgers, Matthew Stafford, Russell Wilson, we could say those guys are better than Jameis. So that's 6 in the conference who are better than Jameis out of 16 teams. Now you take the Dak Prescott, Jared Goff, Carson Wentz. Are those three better than Jameis? Let's just say one of them is better than Jameis. That means Jameis would be ranked 8th out of a 16-team conference of quarterbacks. That makes him average. It makes him an average quarterback, an average starter in the NFC with 7 guys better than him. And some might argue 8 or 9 are better than him. But I'm going to say, I'm going to put Jameis as a guy who likes Jameis and respects his game. I'm going to say Jameis is the 8th best quarterback in the NFC. Now you could take, I'm just going to cut it off right there. That's the reality we're dealing with as fans, as people trying to evaluate our football team. Now the weapons around Jameis, probably those are darn good. I'd put them at maybe top 6 in the NFC, top 5 at least. Get a better running game, we're going top 3. So that's a good combination, and that lets you know that he needs to produce, but we just need more out of the guy. If we don't get it, this team is going nowhere. Nowhere this year, anyway. There's too many other pieces to build, and you just can't upgrade a team that much without your quarterback stepping up. Look at the teams who stepped up this last year. Just look at them. Goff, Wentz. Their team stepped up on the backs of their quarterbacks. Doesn't mean they're one-dimensional clubs by any stretch, but their quarterbacks took big leaps, and they took big leaps and got into the playoffs. We saw Dak Prescott carry the Cowboys 2 years ago, and we know what the other quarterbacks bring to the table. Matthew Stafford's been carrying the Lions offense for years. If they get a running back, if they finally find a running back, that's not going to be pretty for the rest of the NFC. So that's where Jameis fits. I'm not trying to be depressing, but we just have to be realistic with the guy and not expect him to go bananas here. And, you know, somebody asked me over the weekend about Jameis and the investigation and whatnot and his face of the franchise and all that stuff. You know, one thing you can look at is Jameis was not at the Super Bowl this year, making the rounds through the media circus, media row, and all the shows and radio shows that are there. Normally, a quarterback like Jameis would be out there at the Super Bowl, soaking in the experience, learning from it, and representing the team as the face of the franchise on Radio Row. Marcus Mariota was even out there. All we had out there was Gerald McCoy. Why didn't Jameis go? Could be a lot of personal reasons, but most likely is he didn't want to endure 75 questions about the investigation, which wouldn't put him in a good light. And he's also working toward a new contract. So we sort of have our face of the franchise now. Doesn't want to be put his face out there as much because it doesn't look so good in the eyes of a lot of people until this thing can be resolved. So that's where the Bucs are sort of as an organization. Their face of the franchise has got his face hidden. And Gerald McCoy is the guy out there, and a lot of fans don't like to see him as the face of the franchise because he hasn't produced enough or they hate him and all this stupid stuff. We don't need to do the McCoy wars. But I was asked about Jameis, and you know what? It's kind of sad that he had to, you know, sort of feels like he's in hiding. And I don't blame him. I wouldn't want to subject myself to what could happen there when you've got something like this hanging over your head. As far as other free agents, studying it a little bit more, we have a neat thing at JoeBucksFan.com. If you, under any story that's about free agency, you can click on, there's a link that says 2018 free agency. It's right there next to where you would comment. And that leads you to the 63, as of this morning, the 63 posts we've done that relate to free agency. Anything tied to Bucks free agency is there. So if you want to catch up, there are 63 stories this year on free agency as it ties to the Bucks. So, you know, the corner, I can't sit here and evaluate these corners effectively and tell you, is Jonathan Joseph better than Bashaud Breeland? And where should the Bucks go in for a free agent corner? Or is Tlaib better? You know, I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I can tell you who's better in the Bucks defense, which is can be hard to figure out at times, who's going to be a better fit opposite Brent Grimes, if Brent Grimes is even there. But you got to upgrade. They've got to upgrade at corner, and they have to know that at one buck, especially if you're not going to significantly upgrade at defensive end. And But also, you've got the fact these corners aren't stupid. They have agents, too. They can say, the Bucs have no pass rush. You're going to get exposed there, or you're more likely to get exposed, or your career can get shortened if you play for Tampa because they don't have a pass rush. You know, and you tell a cornerback that, and they get it if they have multiple choices. So the Bucs are probably going to have to overpay, and that stinks. You know, even guys like Rashawn Melvin, if they brought him back, or you know, you've got Jaguars, you got Aaron Colvin. You know, he's going to understand, man, I just played for the Jags, and I'm their number three corner, and I can still play outside, and I can get more snaps and money somewhere else. And I'm young, 26 years old. Do I want to go to the Bucs where they have no freaking pass rush and I got to learn a new defense and the coach might be getting fired and it's a mess? Like, send me where there's a pass rush. I mean, if you're a corner, that's the first thing you look for. So that is could be a problem for the Bucs. Although money usually talks. You know, if I'm going to make an extra $800,000 in Tampa, you know, I'll deal with no pass rush. And that would be my attitude as a player. But that's just me as an average Joe with not much cash in his pocket talking versus a corner who's already made $5 million in the NFL. Malcolm Butler, you know, maybe the Bucs go there. I don't know. But you pick a corner, the Bucs could use him. They could use two. But that would also be admitting that Vernon Hargraves is toast, which may be hard for the regime to do. I mean, we've seen the sad loyalty examples of this regime there. It's tough for them to give up on guys, which really makes it most glaring that we saw Vernon Hargraves get demoted last year before he got injured. So we'll see. On the offensive side of the ball, I had a little nugget yesterday about Seferian Jenkins turning down 2-year, $8 million deal from the Jets. That report came out of New York from their longtime beat writer, one of them out there, so legit report. And on top of that, he said that ASJ probably still will work out a deal with the Jets. They like him and all that stuff. They just are working on terms. So if ASJ, and I think it might have been $8.5 million, I don't know, but let's just say ASJ makes $4.5 million. The Bucs have a decision to make on Cameron Brate. I think it should be an easy decision. Pay the man. When Jameis talks about chemistry with receivers, the first guy he talks about is Brate. Don't mess with that. Don't play games. Sign the guy. O.J. Howard's not going to be making a ton of money until his fifth year of his deal. So he started in 17. So 17, 18, 19, 20, 21 is when he'd be getting paid big time on his fifth year option. So don't even worry about that. The Bucs can invest a little more at tight end. Have the depth there. Jameis likes the tight end. If we're wondering whether Jameis can throw the deep ball, might be a little better to have two tight ends on a guy that might be suspect on the deep ball. I don't think DeSean Jackson's going to be here long term. So you know what? Invest in the tight ends. You probably have Godwin cheap for a few more years. Just get it done. Don't worry about it. Lock up Braid. Pay the guy. He's a good citizen. He stays healthy. Get it done. He'd be on my list for re-signing along with Quan Alexander. The other guys, Mike Evans, the lineman, Marpet, Donovan Smith, I'd make them earn it, make them take it to the end of their contracts. You can't pay everybody in advance, but you have to be a little smarter with that. I would pay Quan. I would pay Brate. Those two guys haven't had the paydays yet at all. Made the least out of the potential groups of guys who haven't been paid yet on a second contract. I'd pay those two as guys who've proven it and shown the dedication, have the Jameis-type mentality, and I'd leave the other guys alone. All right, enough of that. It's Monday. Enjoy your Monday. Check out Bucs Uncensored with the commish. We got lots coming on joebucksfan.com. Thanks for your support. If you want to email me any questions, anything you want me to hit on, I have no problem being an open book on questions. Send them, though, by email. Joe@joebucksfan.com, joe@joebucksfan.com. Put in the subject line podcast questions. I'll touch on anything. I don't like to get into the draft until free agency's over. That's me. That's just a personal thing. I can't sit here and wonder what's, you know, go bananas about what the Bucs might do when, you know, the team shapes itself in free agency so much. Because we all know that no matter what teams say, best available, this and that, you know what? Typically, they're drafting for need, and free agency shapes that need. So I don't like to go nuts with the draft, but it doesn't mean I'm not paying attention. Do I think the Bucks are going to be able to have Barkley or, oh gosh, the guy's name is escaping me, Chubb. Do I think they're going to be available for the Bucks? No. Do I think they're going to be available for a trade up for the Bucks? No, not realistically. So I'm taking my mind off those guys and going from there. So don't hit me with questions on those guys because I don't think they're even going to be there or anywhere in the conversation. So that's it. Thanks again. iTunes, Podbean, Google Play. Keep coming to the podcast. Love you. Thanks, fans. See you next week.